The Third Thursday in Lent, Christ's Spiritual Cures, by St. Augustine. Christ now worketh greater cures on account which he disdained not formerly to exhibit lesser ones. For as the soul is better than the body, so is the saving health of the soul better than the health of the body. The blind body doth not now open its eyes by a miracle of the Lord, but the blinded heart openeth its eyes to the word of the Lord. The mortal corpse doth not now rise again, but the soul doth rise again, which lay dead in a living body. The deaf ears of the body are now not opened, but how many have the ears of their heart closed, which yet fly open at the penetrating word of God? So that they believe who did not believe, and they live well who did live evilly, and they obey who did not obey. And we say, such a man is become a believer, and we wonder to hear of them who once we had known as hardened. Why then dost thou marvel at one who now believes, who is living innocently and serving God? But because thou dost behold him seeing whom thou hast known to be blind, dost behold him living whom thou hast known to be dead, dost behold him hearing whom thou hast known to be deaf. For consider that there are those who are dead in another than the ordinary sense, of whom the Lord spake to a certain man who delayed to follow the Lord because he wished to bury his father. Let the dead, said he, bury their dead. Surely these dead buriers are not dead in body, for if this were so, they could not bury dead bodies. Yet doth he call them dead, where but in the soul within? For as we may often see in a household, itself sound and well, the master of the same house lying dead, so in a sound body do many carry a dead soul within, and these the apostle arouses thus, Awake! Thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It is the same who giveth light to the blind, that awakeneth the dead. For it is with his voice that the cry is made by the apostle to the dead, Awake thou that sleepest, and the blind will be enlightened with light, when he shall have risen again. And how many deaf men did the Lord see before his eyes, when he said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. For he was standing before him without his bodily ears. What other ears then did he seek for, but those of the inner man? Again, what eyes did he look for when he spake to those who saw indeed, but who saw only with the eyes of the flesh? For when Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He understood indeed that the Father were shown him, it might well suffice him. But how would the Father suffice him when he was equal to the Father sufficeth not? And why did he not suffice? Because he was not seen. And why was he not seen? Because the eye whereby he might be seen was not yet made whole. For this namely, that the Lord was seen in the flesh with the outward eyes, not only the disciples who honored him saw, but also the Jews who crucified him. He then, who wished to be seen in another way, sought for other eyes, and therefore it was that to him who said, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He answered, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He who hath seen me hath seen the Father also. And that he might in the meanwhile heal the eyes of faith, he has first of all instructions given him regarding faith, that so he might attain to sight. And lest Philip should think that he was to conceive of God under the same form in which he then saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the body, he immediately subjoined, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? He had already said, He who hath seen me hath seen the Father also. But Philip's eye was not yet sound enough to see the Father, nor consequently to see the Son, who is in himself co-equal with the Father. And so Jesus Christ took in the hand to cure, and with the medicines and salve of faith to strengthen the eyes of his mind, which as yet were weak and unable to behold so great a light. And he said, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Let not him, then, who cannot yet see what the Lord will one day show him, seek first to see what he is to believe, but let him first believe that the eye by which he is to see may be healed. For it was only the form of the servants, because if he, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, could have now seen as equal with God by those whom he wished to be healed, he would not have needed to empty himself and take the form of a servant. But because there was no way whereby God could be seen, but whereby man could be seen there was, therefore he who was God was made man, that which was seen might heal that whereby he was not seen. For he saith himself in another place, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Philip might of course have answered and said, Lord, lo, I see thee. Is the Father such as I see thee to be? For as much as thou hast said, He who hath seen me hath seen the Father also. But before Philip answered thus, or perhaps before he so much as thought it, when the Lord had said, He who hath seen me hath seen the Father also, he immediately added, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? For with that eye he could not yet see either the Father or the Son that is equal with the Father, but that his eye might be healed for seeing, he was to be anointed unto believing. So then before thou seest what thou canst not now see, believe what as yet thou seest not. Walk by faith, that thou mayest attain to sight. Sight will not gladden him in his home whom faith consoleth not by the way. For so says the Apostle, As long as we are in the body, we are in pilgrimage from the Lord. And he subjoins immediately why we are still in pilgrimage, though we have now believed, for we walk by faith, he says, not by sight. Our whole business then, brethren, in this life, is to heal this eye of the heart whereby God may be seen. To this end are celebrated the holy mysteries. To this end is preached the word of God. To this end are the moral exhortations of the church, those, that is, that relate to the correction of manners, to the amendment of carnal lusts, to the renouncing the world, not in word only, but in a change of life. To this end is directed the whole aim of the divine and holy scriptures, that the inner man may be purged of that which hinders us from the sight of God. For as the eye which is formed to see this temporal light, a light, though heavenly, yet corporal, and manifest not to men only, but even to the meanest animals. For this the eye is formed, to see this light. If anything be thrown or fall into it, whereby it is disordered, is shut out from this light, and though it encompass the eye with its presence, yet the eye turns itself away from it and is absent from it. And through its disordered condition, is not only rendered absent from the light which is present, but the light, to see which it was formed, is even painful to it. So the eye of the heart too, when it is disordered and wounded, turns away from the light of righteousness, and dares not and cannot contemplate it. And what is that disorders the eye of the heart? Evil desire, covetousness, injustice, worldly concupiscence. These disorder, blind, and close the eye of the heart. And yet when the eye of the body is out of order, how is the physician sought out? What an absence of all delay to open and cleanse it, that may be healed whereby this outward light is seen. There is running to and fro, no one is still, no one loiters, if even the smallest straw fall into the eye. And God, it must be allowed, made the sun which we desire to see with sound eyes. Much brighter, assuredly, is he who made it, nor is the light which was the eye of the mind is concerned of this kind at all. That light is eternal wisdom. God made thee, O man, after his own image. Would he give thee wherewithal to see the sun which he made, and not give thee wherewithal to see him who made thee, when he made thee after his own image? He hath given thee this also, both hath he given thee. But much dost thou love these outward eyes, and despisest much that interior eye, if thou dost carry about bruised and wounded. Yea, it would be a punishment to thee, if thy Maker should wish to manifest himself to thee, it would be a punishment to thine eye, before that it is cured and healed. For so Adam in paradise sinned and hid himself from the face of God. As long then as he had the sound heart of a pure conscience, he rejoiced at the presence of God. When that eye was wounded by sin, he began to dread the divine light. He fled back into the darkness and the thick covert of the trees, flying from the truth and anxious for the shade. Therefore, my brethren, since we too are born of him, and as the Apostle says, in Adam all die, for we were all at first two persons, if we were loth to obey the physician, that we may not get sick, let us obey him now, that we may be delivered from sickness. The physician gave us precepts when we were whole. He gave us precepts that we might not need a physician. They that are whole, he saith, need not a physician, but they that are sick. When whole we despise those precepts, and by experience have felt how to our own destruction we despised his precepts. Now we are sick, we are in distress, we are on the bed of weakness, yet let us not despair. For because we could not come to the physician, he hath vouchsafed to come himself to us. Thou despisest by man when he was whole, he did not despise him when he was stricken. He did not leave off to give other precepts to the weak, who would not keep the first precepts, that he might not be weak, as though he would say, Assuredly, thou hast by experience felt that I spake the truth when I said, Touch not this. Be healed then now at length, and recover the life thou hast lost. Lo, I am bearing thy infirmity. Drink thou the bitter cup. For thou hast of thine own self made those so sweet precepts which were given to thee when whole, so toilsome. They were despised, and so thy distress began. Cured thou canst not be, except thou drink the bitter cup, the cup of temptations, wherein this life abounds, the cup of tribulation, anguish, and sufferings. Drink then, he says, drink that thou mayest live. And that the sick man may not make answer, I cannot bear it, I will not drink. The physician, on whole though he be, drinketh first, and the sick man may not hesitate to drink. For what bitterness is there in this cup that he hath not drunk? If it be contumely, he heard it first when he drove out the devils. He hath a devil, and by Beelzebub he casteth out devils. Whereupon, in order to comfort the sick, he saith, If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If pains are this bitter cup, he was bound, scourged, and crucified. If death be this bitter cup, he died also. If infirmity, shrink with horror from any particular kind of death, none were at the time more ignominious than the death of the cross. For it was not in vain that the apostle, when setting forth his obedience, added, made obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Lord, in doing these things, and suffering these human things, instructs us by his bodily miracles and bodily patience, that we may believe and be made whole to behold those things invisible which the eye of the body hath no knowledge of. The two blind men who sat by the wayside cried out, Have mercy on us, thou son of David. Now what is it, brethren, to cry out unto Christ, but to correspond to the grace of Christ by good works? This I say, brethren, lest happily we cry aloud with our voices and in our lives be dumb. Who is he that crieth out to Christ, that in his inward blindness may be driven away by Christ as he is passing by? That is, as he is dispensing to us those temporal sacraments whereby we are instructed to receive the things which are eternal. Who is he that crieth out unto Christ? Whoso despiseth the world crieth out unto Christ, who saith, Not with his tongue, but with his life, The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, crieth out unto Christ. Whoso disperseth abroad and giveth to the poor, that his righteousness may endure forever, crieth out unto Christ. For let him that hears and is not deaf to the sound, sell that ye have and give to the poor. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not. Let him, as he hears the sound as it were of Christ's footsteps passing by, cry out in response to this in his blindness, that is, let him do these things. Let his voice be in his actions. Let him begin to despise the world, to distribute to the poor his goods, to esteem as nothing worth what other men love. Let him disregard injuries, not seek to be avenged. Let him give his cheek to the smiters. Let him pray for his enemies. If any one hath taken away his goods, let him not ask for them again. If he hath taken anything from any man, let him restore fourfold. When he shall begin to do all this, all his kinsmen, relations, and friends will be in commotion. They who love this world will oppose him. What madness is this? You are too extreme. What? Are not other men Christians? This is folly. This is madness. And other such like things do the multitude cry out to prevent the blind from crying out. The multitude rebuked them as they cried out, but did not overcome their cries. Let them who wish to be healed understand what they have to do. Jesus is also now passing by. Let them who are by the wayside cry out. These are they who know God with their lips, but their hearts is far from him. These are they by the wayside to whom, as blinded in heart, Jesus gives his precepts. For when those passing things which Jesus did are recounted, Jesus is always represented to us as passing by. For even unto the end of the world there will not be wanting blind men sitting by the wayside. Need then there is that they who sit by the wayside should cry out. The multitude that was with the Lord would repress the crying out of those who were seeking for recovery. Brethren, do you see my meaning? Evil and lukewarm Christians hinder good Christians who are truly earnest and wish to do the commandments of God which were written in the gospel. This multitude which is with the Lord hinders those who are crying out, hinders those, that is, who are doing well, that they may not by perseverance be healed. But let them cry out, and not faint. Let them not be led away as if by the authority of numbers. Let them not imitate those who live evil lives themselves and are jealous of the good deeds of others. Let them not say, let us live these so many live. Why not rather as the gospel ordains? Why dost thou live to according to the remonstrances of the multitude who would hinder thee, and not after the precepts of the Lord who passeth by? They will mock and abuse and call thee back. Do thou cry out till thou reach the ears of Jesus. For they who persevere in doing such things as Christ hath enjoined, and regard not the multitudes that hinder them, nor think much of their appearing to follow Christ, that is, of their being called Christians, but who love the light of Christ, is about to restore to them, more than they fear the uproar of those who are hindering them. They shall on no account be separated from him, and Jesus will stand still and make them whole. See what crowds there are which rebuke the blind as they cry out. But let them not deter you, whosoever among this crowd desire to be healed. For there are many Christians in name and in works ungodly. Let them not deter you from good works. Cry out amid the crowds that are restraining you and calling you back and insulting you, whose lives are evil. Cry out amidst the very crowds. Despair not of reaching the ears of the Lord. For the blind men in the gospel did not cry out in that quarter where no crowd was, so that they might be heard in that direction, where there was no impediment from persons hindering them. Amidst the very crowds they cried out, and yet the Lord heard them. And so also do ye now, amidst sinners and sensual men, amidst the lovers of the vanities of the world, there cry out that the Lord may heal you. Consider, brethren, how in the crowd which was hindering them from crying out, yet there were they who cried out made whole. For observe this too, holy brethren. What is it to persevere in crying out? I will speak of what many as well as myself have experienced in Christ's name, for the church does not cease to give birth to such as these. When any Christian hath begun to live well, to be fervent in good works, and to despise the world, in this newness of his life he is exposed to the animadversions and contradictions of cold Christians. But if he persevere and get the better of them by his endurance, and faint not in good works, those very same persons who hindered him will now respect him.